Amen. We're going to receive our offering at this time. Are there any youngsters who'd like to volunteer to be offering takers? All right, Landon over here. I've got three baskets today, so get more people involved. Sophie, all right. Landon, there's one here in the middle if you want to get that. Let Sophie have that one. All right, Logan, I see your hand over there. All right. Hold on just a minute. Let's ask the blessing, and then these youngsters will come around with the offering baskets. Two redheads and a blondie. How about that? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these wonderful kids that you've blessed our church with. So many of them, so young and minds and hearts so tender. And Lord, I thank you for their teachers who teach them faithfully your word on Sunday mornings. I thank you for their parents who are discipling them in the home as well. Lord, we pray that you would bless the offering we're about to receive. Take it, multiply it, use it to send the gospel further and further and further. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Sophie, why don't you start over on that corner? Landon will hit the middle. As they come around to receive the offering, let me just call your attention to a couple of other items there on your tables in front of you. If you would, I want to encourage you, please, to take one of these with you. Every tray should have some of these in it. This is the prayer guide for 2017's Week of Prayer. In conjunction with the Lottie Moon offering that we take, we also spend a week in December every year as Southern Baptists praying for our missionaries, praying for different people groups around the world who are being impacted by their ministries. And I want to encourage you to take one of these and over the next 8 days, beginning today, to be praying and reading and asking the Lord to bless and to move and to use these missionaries. Also, you have the Prayer Points Guide, which is a month-long calendar. We have these every month all throughout the year. This is December's, and that's a 30-day, just a little snippet each day in your quiet time, a little chance to pray again for our missionaries. And one other thing that Julie brought to me, a couple of these from Lifeway, is called a Family Advent Guide. This is the season of the year where we commemorate Jesus' coming in the flesh. And so I have this one, and I have one on the little table over there. And Lifeway also has these at the store in Mentor. So if you're out in Mentor and would like to have one of these as a way to guide your family, these are free. Yes, thank you, Julie. And so, yeah, please. December 3rd starts today, so Lifeway is not open on Sunday, so don't make a trip out there today. Thankfully, they give their workers the Lord's day off. So turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. John 1. And we'll be looking at verses 1 to 14. Excuse me, I'm going to read 1 to 18. Caleb and I covered the first 14 verses, but I want to read this again because it's such a critical, critical introduction to what many believe is the not, I don't want to say the most important of the four Gospels, but the most potent in the sense of it so graphically depicts Jesus in the entirety of the ministry of his coming to the earth and even before that. And I'll explain that why we're going to John chapter 1 this morning, this first Sunday of Advent, in just a moment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word would penetrate to the deepest core of our being today. That regardless of the state, the spiritual state, the emotional state, the stress level state, whatever condition in which we arrived here this morning, regardless of that, Lord, that your word would break through. That even in spite of the difficulties of life, the strain of life, your word would break through. Your word would shape us. Your word would illuminate us. Your word became flesh. And it's that word become flesh that we want to be the focus, not only of this morning's service, but of every moment of our lives, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray this morning. Amen. Advent is a very, very important episode in what is an ongoing, we might even say an always going, love story. Advent and the Christmas season is when Christians have traditionally celebrated the arrival of God's Son into creation, the Creator entering into creation in flesh, taking upon himself a human body just like ours. Those of us who have bodies here today, we have been made, we've been given those bodies, created in the image of God. God purposefully made us the way he made us. He made us with bodies. He made us with minds. He gave us emotions. He gave us spiritual attitude and ability. And the body is that part of Jesus' ministry that we get to see and we get to touch and we get to feel and we get to hear. There are so many ways in which Jesus' ministry exceeds and extends beyond the physical, the visible episode that we read about in the Gospel of the New Testament. So many ways in which Jesus' ministry outstrips the very small snippet of time that we get to see in the Gospels. And that's what we hear about in John. That's why we're going to John today, because we want to get back to the real beginning of the love story, don't we? It's not a love story that begins in Bethlehem, that Jewish town we all know of small little earth-colored square buildings with yellow light emanating out of square little windows on a backdrop of purple rolling hillsides, on an even darker backdrop of blue nighttime sky with one big star hanging over a tiny stable. That's the Christmas card Bethlehem we all know, isn't it? And that's where the incarnation begins, isn't it? Well, before we answer that, we have to ask, by incarnation, what do we mean? By incarnation, do we mean just Jesus' physical arrival and birth by the Virgin Mary? If that's what we mean by incarnation, then yes, Bethlehem, or we might say 9 months earlier in Nazareth, that's where the incarnation begins. But let me ask you something. Does murder begin the moment murder happens? No, it does not. It begins well before that, in the intent of a murderer to commit murder. Murder happens before murder happens. Adultery happens before adultery happens. The greatest love story ever has been happening well before it happened into the world scene in that Bethlehem stable. And that's because it began, it has always been beginning in the heart of God. You see, the love that we experience through Jesus Christ, it's what I call spillover love, okay? You and I are part of, Adam and Eve were part of, Abraham, David, Moses, Mary and Joseph, they were part of this love story, but they are not primary to this love story. The love we experience through Jesus, the love we experience as the bride and the body of Christ is spillover love. It's love that has spilled over onto us out of a prior existing love. And that is God's love for God. God, we believe as New Testament Christians, as Bible Christians, is triune. He is Father, He is Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, together. And so the story that we enter into physically and visibly in the opening chapters of Luke and Matthew, for example, with Mary, Joseph getting visited by the angel, learning of the baby that's to come, making that arduous trek to Bethlehem from Nazareth, being born in the stable, having the innkeeper shut the door in their faces, all that. That story has been going on since well before those chapters. So that's why we go to John 1 today and not Luke 1 or Matthew 1. We're going to get to the beginning of it. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him that were made. Without Him was nothing made that's been made. So here we have the beginning. Okay, Genesis 1 says in the beginning too, doesn't it? What's that the beginning of though? That's the beginning of creation. That's the beginning of the cosmos, the physical created order. But that's not the beginning of beginnings. You see, the beginning has always been beginning. It never really had a starting moment. All right? We don't operate as Christians from a big bang, kind of there's this grand explosion moment where stuff started happening, before which nothing was and nothing happened. John 1 tells us a different story. John 1 tells us that there was an always beginning. Eternity past, and that for eternity past, God has been in love with God. The Father, the Son, the Spirit sharing this immense love with one another. And then creation begins that story of the spillover of that love. Now, if you're planning something, if you're planning to build something, Joe, you're an engineer, you build bridges, you build roads. So before you get to laying the concrete or pouring the asphalt, you got to do some work, don't you? You got to study the soil. You got to study the ground to see if it'll even hold up the weight of a new structure like that. God is a master builder, okay? And God created a world, and He created a race of people in His image that He knew would not hold up, that He knew were inherently weak and would be weakened in the face of temptation and would fall into sin. Yet, God went ahead and created the world. knowing full well beforehand that we would crumble under the weight of temptation. God wouldn't make a very good county engineer, would he? God wouldn't make a very good builder in our sense of responsibility. You don't build where the ground is unstable, but God did. Because you see, even though the ground of the human soul might have been unstable and weak in the face of temptation, there was something even deeper than that. And that is God's love for God. And so the love that we get to experience, the love that has been spilling over from this inter-Trinitarian, inter-Godhead relationship for all of eternity, now supports us. Now comes to our rescue. And so at Advent, we've got to think and ask ourselves some hard questions. What is it that we're celebrating? Are we just celebrating the arrival of a baby in a manger? Yes, there is that. Are we just celebrating the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph and listening to God and in hearing this marvelous news, this amazing tell of what was going to happen through them? Yeah, we celebrate that. We celebrate the angels appearing to the shepherds faithfully going to the stable and then faithfully going out and telling everyone what they'd seen. We celebrate all that at Advent and at Christmas time. But undergirding, underlying, supporting all of that is this ongoing mission of God. Christmas isn't just about being jolly. It's all about Jesus. Christmas isn't and shouldn't just be about sentimentality. We're not just to be sentimental at Christmas. We're to understand that we're sent at Christmas. Advent and Christmas is all about a sent one. Coming into a world of sin. Coming into a world of darkness, as John describes it. Deadness. And bringing light and life. Look at that first paragraph. All things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So let's be challenged. Let's be reminded this Advent season of how critical, how important it is for us to understand our sentness, our sentness. Okay? There's a lot to be sentimental about. We decorated our tree last night. I just about destroyed our tree last night. We have one of those pre-lit trees. We bought it a couple years ago, and it worked great for the first year. And then last year, one of the strands went out. It wasn't the easy one, like at the very top or at the very bottom. No, it's one of the ones in the middle. Okay. Now, they don't just lay those bulbs on there. They wrap them, they tie them, they zip tie them on there. They just go in all directions. So, all right, babe, let me get my clippers out, my little electrical tools. I'm going to try to bypass some of these bulbs that I think are out. It was a fruitless effort last night. So, I got a couple to come back on, but not all of them. And even after I got those few to come back on, that's when I just about said, we're going to buy a new tree. But I didn't end up doing that. But sentiment, you know? We unpack the ornaments that we see for 1 month a year, and they bring back all the memories of childhood. You know, my mom still has the little popsicle stick Smurf sled that I made in, like, kindergarten. But the Elmer's glue is still holding that thing together somehow. We pull out these memories, and there's so much to remember and to be happy about at Christmas time, to think about. But rather than being sentimental, in addition to being sentimental, we Christians have to be sent. We have to revel in our sentness because we are Christ's people. And Christ was the sent one. And he is the sending one as well. So let's make sure in addition to our sentimentality, we have a sent mentality, okay? That just came to me. I didn't really actually work that out. Let's have a sent mentality. Now, let's think also, you know, when we want to see the real nature of our sentness, we got to look. I'm just going to turn this off because it's doing weird things.